Welcome to another edition of Cue the Banter, the Oscar nominations episode. The energy feels right. It feels good. I got a question for you, Jer.
Yeah.
Can you feel it? Can you feel the fucking takes right now?
Oh, so many takes. All the takes.
This is unbelievable.
This is our time.
It feels like this is it.
It's
only up
season.
From here. This is take. Oh, hold on.
I have
the takes. Wait. The takes are louder.
Oh, I have now become takes.
Destroyer of moods.
Absolutely. Oh man.
Wow.
And
oh man, I'll tell you what. Doing the intros live, it feels good. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Absolutely. It gets honestly. It's like, you know, I do this in acting class all the time. It's kind of like a warm up. You know, gets me feeling in my body. Gets me ready to go. Gets me. Cause I mean, I didn't really know how we were gonna come into this. It's late.
No, that it's late. It's been a week.
It's been a week. Yeah,
it's been a week, and I would like to start off.
It's
by,
been a long year.
It's been a very long year. if you listen to the last episode, we kind of talked about, you know, what made it a long year, and it's only gotten longer.
Mm-hmm.
Today is Wednesday, January 24th, and on Sunday, unfortunately, we had to say goodbye to our beloved producer of the show, Maya, our wonderful, wonderful dog, which just makes it brings me immense sadness of losing her, but the joy of being able to call her producer of this podcast just makes me laugh.
Yeah. I mean, she was an intern, and she worked her way up the ranks.
Yeah, she worked her way up the ranks. Mm-hmm. So obviously, we're going to dedicate this episode to Dog, because Dog was the best. Dog was wonderful. Dog brought all of us so much happiness. And it's funny because I think it's like, you know, coming in this room, she always sat under the desk. She's not there, and I don't like it.
Right.
I'm going to miss her very much, but I love her. And I am very appreciative of all the people that we listen to. I know that sent me text messages, pictures of them with the dog, pictures that they had of the dog went back in Jersey. Adam sent me one here. We love you guys. Thank you very much for that. And Jared, you were here the day before everything happened. And I think it was a great day. And I'm glad we got to spend that time together.
Oh, yeah, me too. It was a great day. It really, really puts things into perspective.
It does.
certainly with what we're going to be talking about today, but Maya was the best. We love Maya. We miss Maya. But this show will still be produced by Maya.
Well, yeah, obviously.
Yeah.
You know, no one else is going to produce it. I'm not.
Oh man.
Not me. But I mean, we're thank you for that. Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences.
Yeah,
nominations are out.
Yeah, they dropped Tuesday morning. I woke up 5 a.m. Don't know why. It just felt like I was. You know what? I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna live tweet it if I can.
Is that what time they start announcing?
It started closer to 6. It was like 5:30 was the broadcast started. They came out like 5:45. They listed a couple, and then they took a quick break, and then they listed a couple more. It was pretty quick. Just because, I mean, what, there's like 23 awards or something like that the Academy gives out every year. So yeah, I got up. I was live tweeting. So some of my opinion is already out there on Twitter.
Okay.
But what I said to you, I texted you before we were doing this. What's great is, like, you know, I've already listened to some podcasts of, like, oh, you know, they instant reactions, right?
Yes.
But we didn't do that, which I think is better for how we sort of do things, because we kind of got to be able to have a full day, full 2 days of Twitter losing their mind over whatever they, you know, and obviously the Barbie thing is the big thing, and we'll get into it, but it's, there were takes, right? And the takes of, you know, that the announcement has settled. People have had their thoughts, and now they're giving their takes. And guess what? They're totally normal.
Yeah, of course. They're going to be very, very normal takes. No one's going to say anything out of hand. And I actually kind of like, you know, I know our last episode, we had the syllabus. And as you said, you know, as we just talked about what the past couple weeks have been like, I haven't watched a lot. I did start going through the list, but then too much going on. I almost like it at this point too. I'm an outsider on a lot of things, so there's questions I want to ask you as you've seen more of these things on different nominees and people that were left out and who would they replace?
I think I've seen
you have you have some takes lined up. Did you save some tweets? There's okay. I just want to make sure.
I mean, I have. Yeah, plenty of takes. I've seen 9 of the Best Picture nominees.
Okay.
And then I think with just some of the acting categories, there's some movies now that I gotta see. I'm not gonna lie to you, I was hoping I didn't have to watch Naiad. I guess I gotta watch Naiad.
it's about a boat, Annette Bening, and
swimmer.
She's a swimmer.
Yeah.
Is Reese Ifans in that?
Don't know. I haven't seen it.
No, you haven't seen it comes up whenever I open Netflix. It comes up and it's so a
like
scene.
That, like, yeah, there's a couple of the acting nominations that I still have to see, but I've seen most of the performances. I've seen most of the Best Picture movies. And then I got to dig in a little bit to, like, you know, some of the below the line the tech awards and stuff like that, but that's also
up that fucking Reese is in it? No, never mind. There he is. Sorry, went to IMDb real quick, and I'm like, is he not in that? What the fuck was that preview I was watching?
this is why we have you on the show.
Damn,
are you? Is he? He's not what? Listed. Are we talking about?
No, he is. He's low down.
Oh my gosh, he's so far down.
Yeah, but he's the guy in the thing, and he's on a boat.
So he's in the boat. There are also boys in a boat.
And he's like,
George Clooney asks, what if there were boys in the boat? So I didn't know if you were getting like your
No, I was like, I saw it, and I thought there was a boat and water. My thoughts are always crossed.
Well, yeah, I mean, she's not like, here's the thing is, it's about Diana Nyad, who sets to achieve a nearly impossible lifelong dream to swim from Cuba to Florida. So 100 miles
she's
of ocean.
She's an idiot.
There's bound to be a boat. Well, yeah, she's not an idiot because look at, she got nominated for an Academy Award.
Yeah, that's true.
Did Barbie swim across the 100
did.
Miles of ocean?
I mean, imagine your dream being like, you know what I want to do? What? To swim really far in the ocean, just not something I have any interest in.
No, absolutely not.
Open ocean's very scary. I don't know what you're looking at for your list of nominees because we don't coordinate anything until we're on air.
I'm on the Oscars website.
Okay, I'm good with that because that's also where I'm at.
Okay, cool. I figured there would be less ads, you know.
So
yeah, that's where I'm looking.
I want to make sure that we're kind of, you know, it also works out this way that we're going in the same.
We also, I mean, there's this, we have a scroll so we can start wherever we want. I kind of want to start with just, I feel that like was, Best Picture.
All right, we're going BP.
Yeah. Just, I feel like that one kind of leading up to it, was one of the more, at least from what I did, I made predictions the night before on a couple of the big awards, and then other people obviously have been doing it. One of the easiest race to predict in this field. Okay. I mean, you know, the 10 that were listed were the same as the PGA Awards, which are the nominees that just came out a week or so ago. So those, they all match up perfectly. So it was kind of like, I predicted 10 for 10 with, but I wasn't the only one. It was an easier sort of field to predict for Best Picture. So we can talk about that, because I don't really know, you know, there's some things that, you know, people, movies that like, oh, where's this? And it was never really in the conversation leading up to it the past couple of weeks. But yeah, I mean, do you want to go ahead and read the nominees?
Yeah, sure. You know what? I'm also going to put them up on the screen.
Okay.
Because we're classy over here.
Sure.
All right. So we have American Fiction, Anatomy of a Fall, Barbie, The Holdovers, Killers of the Flower Moon, Maestro, Oppenheimer, Past Lives, Poor Things, and The Zone of Interest.
Mm-hmm.
So, this is you had all these? You had these all slated?
I had these all slated. Yeah. These were the ones that I had felt were good. I mean, and I think in recent years the PGA sort of just reflects the Best Picture.
What it's going to end up being?
Yeah. I'm trying to think of like movies that were like in the conversation that didn't really or that missed out, like, there wasn't like, I mean, like, you know, I saw The Iron Claw. It's a great movie. It was one of those movies. Just like, why isn't this in the conversation? So it was never something like, oh, maybe it'll get nominated. I never felt it was. It was more just disappointing that it wasn't even a part of that. And then I feel like most of the other snubs are like things that, oh, they missed out, was just had to do with the other categories. So I think it's a good field. I've seen everything but American Fiction. I'm pretty warm on all of them. The outlier being Maestro, which I liked enough, but it was one of those ones where I might even need to rewatch it. It didn't totally land for me the first time I watched it, but everything else I kind of just either liked or loved. So
yeah. And I'm also, you know, they talk about the producers and everything. So obviously you get Margot Robbie gets a nom for Best Picture,
mm-hmm.
In there. Scorsese, that one makes sense. Bradley Cooper, Spielberg is in there as a producer of Maestro.
Mm-hmm.
Nolan, and there's Yorgos, and there's Emma Stone again. A couple of familiar names in that producer category.
Yeah.
So, from, I haven't seen all of these. I've seen one of these. I've seen two of them. Okay. I've seen Barbie and Oppenheimer.
On the same day, you've seen Barbenheimer. That's it.
It was 12 hours of my life, and that's as much work as I've done on the Best Pictures here.
Yeah.
But who do you think here is just here as a kind of, do you think that this is like, who are the clear favorites here? Like, is this Oppenheimer's Oscar to lose? Is it the Holdovers' Oscar to spoil?
No, I mean, it was, I feel like it was a little bit, but then you get Alexander Payne missing out on director. So it's like, he's out. So maybe, I think that's kind of just a clear indication of where we're going. I think maybe
that's true. Yes. Killers?
A couple weeks ago, you'd think like, oh, is that going to gain steam, you know, for Scorsese? But right now, it really just feels like Oppenheimer. Other than that, I think, I don't know. I mean, Anatomy of a Fall kind of just has a lot of love, despite it not being even submitted by France. It's a French film that was not, I believe the director Justine Triet criticized the president of France.
Oh, little fucking Emmanuel Macron, that piece of shit, raising the entire age. Fuck him. Because I was going to say, what's the story behind this? Because I turn around here and I'm reminded of another time with the Oscars and certain French films not being hold on.
See, I was going to bring this up because it's like, Lord, I see what you do.
This ring any bells, yeah, France?
Lord, I see what you do. Parlez-vous français? I don't care that something good happened to you. It should have happened to me.
Mansoor, yeah. You know?
So
je n'hésite un submit L Wright films.
Oh, great. Oh, my God.
Okay.
But... yeah, this just shows that they could have nominated Portrait of a Lady on Fire all along, 2019.
These fucking people. I meant the Academy, not the French. Okay?
Yeah, important to say. but yeah, I don't know how much is directly related, but I had read that she had criticized Macron, and then ultimately France submitted The Taste of Things, a movie I'm very excited about. It's going to be playing in the theater out here around Valentine's Day. I've heard it's very good, so no knocking on that. And but that movie, which we'll get to if we look at, didn't even get nominated for international film. So France misses out there. Meanwhile, the film that they chose not to has, I believe, 5 nominations.
Yeah.
So
because this French president, yeah, he took his ball and went home.
Yeah.
You know exactly. What I mean?
Yeah.
Imagine being like, hey, what's a film that's really people are really feeling right now? It's a great representation about the artwork that we're making in this country. And they're like, Anatomy of a Fall, you seen it? Pretty good. And he's like, they're mean to me, so we're gonna not submit that. So I from, like we talked about, being more on the outside, I remember when I saw Oppenheimer.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very memorable.
Yeah.
And as our intro music played, I'm reminded, I'm like, what's the thing? Like, Dunkirk has a thing with the time, and I'm like, well, how's Nolan going to do a biopic?
Mm-hmm.
What's going to be the Nolan-y thing about it? Mm-hmm. And Austin says Past Lives with the upset of the century coming. Everyone loves an underdog story.
Oh,
and it started and the score plays.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, okay, here we are. And then I watched the whole fucking thing and I was like, mm-hmm. This has to be the best shot. He has. It has to be.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's forming into that. I think this.
Yeah. And yeah. I mean, the scale of it. But also the direction of it. You know, we always go back to that scene, which we'll get into director next, that scene after the bomb, and he's in there and he's talking, and it's just one of the best directed scenes. It's so good, and it feels good seeing something where, like, it feels like a lot of people are rooting for it. Like, I don't see the downside of it.
No.
And I also think it was, and we talked about this before too, where like during the strikes, like I wasn't, film Twitter was pretty cool and not, and was like, well, fuck, we're not going to talk about this shit because, mm-hmm. you know, strikes going on. But once it was done and people are like, do you remember this? And do you remember Oppenheimer? Do you remember when the score played? And it was like, you got to see it all over again. So it had a thing of where it was out. We weren't talking about it as much online. And then all at once, people are like, you fucking remember that shit? And I think that's given it a big push that's helping it as well.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. And it's also, I mean, it's like you said, being a biopic, it's at least in the Oscars of old, that tended to be something. Like, I remember when he made Dunkirk, like when he makes Tenet, I'm not thinking, oh, this is perfect chance for him to get an Oscar for best picture.
Yeah.
But when he makes Dunkirk, I had that thought. And there was a point in time where Dunkirk was a part of that part of the contention. Like, I mean, obviously it got nominated, but there was a chance. Oh, did it have a chance? And then ultimately it lost out. But with Oppenheimer, it seems, you know, it's just such an impressive feat, that movie. And I also think it plays into the fact that Nolan hasn't been recognized yet by the Academy. He has the most, I mean, his movie has the most famous snub, you'd argue, in the Academy history, considering The Dark Knight missing out on Best Picture made them change the amount of movies that they nominate.
And that is kind of crazy too, because this isn't even the whole thing of we're arguing on whether where you hold that movie all these years past there. It's undeniable that it changed the way that the Oscars work. They went back to doing 10, and it was like, I love the 10. I love that there's fucking 10. I think it's great, and you got to be stupid to not recognize where that comes from. And it's, you know, it's he has such a strong reach, Nolan, and he's it's also, you know, you get to that traditional filmmaking film, like there's that whole aspect of like he's such at the forefront of that. But then also bigger projection, like a better experience in the theater. You feel like he's one of the guys is at the forefront of that. Like that's always a Nolan thing talking about that. And then whenever his movies come out, it's like this Batman Begins, you know, explodes. And then you get Dark Knight, just bigger and bigger and bigger. And kind of these always a spectacle of, you know, people are paying attention when he makes something. And I think it's really cool that you're like, where'd this guy get all his recognition from? Oh, he did the Batman. He got the Batman job. And this is where we are now. And it's like, oh, this feels like prestige, biopic, 3 hours of this movie. Three hours of this. And it feels like still people are like, I want more. I want more Nolan. I want more of the cast. I want more of, you know, no one's feeling exhausted from it.
Right, which is, it happens so often. And
yeah, and I think that that's something that's super special about it. And even look at the influence with the whole streaming thing and the decision why that movie came out with Universal and not Warner Brothers. That was back to the COVID shit with HBO Max and all that. And
did you see
he always seems to be there.
Yeah, did you see he's reuniting briefly with Warner Brothers to re-release Tenet in theaters. And wow. I think it was the report was in support of to like gear up for Dune. So might have to look out for that. Cause I've been
check out the local listings.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, all that stuff you said is, yeah, it's like, it just seems like the time. It seems like so many of the it's been ever since it came out. Remember this? I mean, this movie came out and in July, and I think, and it's a sort of just held. Oftentimes, there's been movies where it's like this is the favorite, and then you get to October and November, and people are tired of it, and then you have new front runners, and it's just how these races shape out. But even when you look last year. Everything Everywhere All at Once came out, I think in like March, and that held the whole way. That's just been something that I feel is recent, where it's like these things just hold, and it doesn't necessarily make the race very interesting, but in a case like Oppenheimer, you sort of feel like it's the right decision, so you can't even be that mad at it. And it's, 13 nominations. I just scrolled down the list of the nominations counting, like, I was like, what does this have a really good shot at winning? I mean, it could win more or less. I counted 8 where I was like, I'm pretty sure that it could get these. Like, there's has a strong chance. And it could be even more than that, but.
Do you want to go to directing next?
Yeah, let's take a look at directing.
I'll let you go ahead and read the nominees.
Okay,
I'm going to not screen share just because I don't want to keep this smooth.
The nominees for Best Director are Justine Triet for Anatomy of a Fall, Martin Scorsese for Killers of the Flower Moon, Christopher Nolan for Oppenheimer, Yorgos Lanthimos for Poor Things, and Jonathan Glazer for The Zone of Interest.
Is this Nolan's to lose?
Also, yeah. This is his to lose. The only other way is if they decide to, we're going to give it to Marty because we know we're not giving him anything else. But Nolan's winning this, I think. I haven't gotten your opinions. We've been text changed talking about all sorts of things. I feel like you've been very quiet. I know you haven't seen a lot of the movies, but I don't know what your opinions are on any of his stuff.
So the big thing right now, as we know, is no Greta in this category. And I saw Hillary Clinton tweeted about it today.
Yeah.
Not a fan of that. You know what I mean?
Insane.
No one.
Hillary said, look, I've won the popular vote before and lost out on the prize. I know exactly how it feels. That's what makes it all the more work. Much worse. It's like, this is still, she's still tweeting about the 2016 election.
Oh, God. I feel like it was not fully intentional on I've been quiet on a lot of it. I know I haven't seen a lot, but it was the big one was they're like, no Greta. And I'm like, yeah, it's kind of crazy. Who would Greta replace on this list?
On this list? Let me check. I'm looking. None of them. That's the problem. I could personally take someone out. This list to me doesn't feel like anyone should come out.
That's a better way to ask the question.
Yeah. That's the problem. I could maybe I liked Anatomy of Fall great, but it maybe wasn't in my top 10. So maybe I could, and Barbie was, so I could, but it's an incredibly directed film. It plays a lot with, it's a courtroom drama, but plays a lot with, this idea. But, we're recapping this this fall that someone dies and we don't know whether or not the main suspect did it or not. And it weaves in so many different things with flashbacks and also just the testimony and what they're. I think it's expertly directed. I'm not going to take out. We should always. Award these things based on gender, but I wouldn't. Oh, cool! We're taking out the only woman we nominated to put another one, so there can only always just be one woman, no more.
So, and that's kind of my thing. Is like, I always think that that's an important question to ask. because it's as being someone that didn't do his homework for the year and watch everything, I'm looking at it. And I'm like, okay, where would the replacement be? I'm like, whose spot should she have had? Because I, wonderfully directed film. Mm-hmm. She's the one that brought that together.
Yeah.
And you look at it and you're like, okay, yeah, where would she go? And is this a case of where we've seen before where you're like, they just wanted to hold her out because, the voters only skew one way and, mm-hmm. all these things that we've done to try and change that hasn't worked? Or was it something where it's like, oh no, these five are just fucking, they're locked in?
I think it's probably a little bit of both. I think there is some rejection of the mainstream picks. It's a snub. Don't get me wrong.
Greta Gerwig
has been snubbed. I think Jonathan Glazer is probably in there instead of her. And I just saw The Zone of Interest, and I'm like, I'm not taking him out. That movie is incredible and incredibly staged, and the tone is just so so well worked.
I didn't mean to cut you off there, but I'm looking at Austin says that we've Q the Banter has been canceled because we both hate women, and he knew it the whole time.
Same. Yeah. Look, this is not the good, we have plenty more to talk about this movie in this regard too. It's the fact that there's five nominees.
And I saw an account and said that maybe there should be 10.
I've been saying it for maybe 2 years.
There maybe should be 10. That kind of makes sense. Make it 10.
I understand so many different arguments about why Barbie should have been included. And it's like, well, first of all, let's take a look at the stats here. Okay. Barbie, I'm seeing made, as of, I believe, mid to late January, $1.446 billion at the global box office. And it has 8 Oscar nominations. Oh, wait. I'm looking here. Greta Gerwig is nominated for an Academy Award. And as you already stated, Margot Robbie is also nominated for an Academy Award. Margot Robbie also, and we'll get to it more, I guess, when we talk about Best Actress. She's nominated in Best Picture for producing. It's not like they're not recognized.
They haven't been, they haven't been totally shut out.
No, and it's been framed in such a weird way. But she was totally deserving of Best Director. I've said it before. I walked out of Little Women and I said, if she's not nominated for Best Director, I'm rioting in the streets. She was not nominated for Best Director. I didn't riot in the streets, but I did emotionally. No female directors actually. What's crazy is also no female directors ever been nominated twice besides Jane Campion. Greta was nominated for Lady Bird. I understand all the arguments about, like, I think one woman out of five sucks.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at picture and it was a like for like, right? You nominate all the directors for the 10 best pictures, it's 3-7. Still not ideal. But it's 3 is better than 1. And I think you nominate 10 and you can even, I'm just basing it off of what we know. Like if there were 10, maybe it wasn't all 10 of the best picture nominees, but you do that and you give the opportunity to celebrate more diverse filmmakers by doing that. Because I'm looking at this, I feel like this happens almost every year. I'm like, that's a pretty good 5. Like I'm not taking Scorsese out. Like, yeah, he's been nominated 100 times, but like,
I don't think adding more diminishes for like when you go directing and picture. I don't think it diminishes anything where it's like, oh yeah, they got nominated, but now they nominate 10. It's like, yeah, well they're getting recognition. And I get you have the ones where it's a nomination. That's all it's going to be.
Right.
But that's still something. Like, that's right. What I mean. That's still something there. Yeah. You're not getting more winners. There's still only the one that was going to win is going to be the one that wins. You just get to recognize 9 other filmmakers. Right. Yeah, I'm on board. I support it. 10 director noms going forward.
Even if you have to be like, some people might even argue because they want the, you know, they want it to be have more equality, like doing, I don't like the idea of doing, oh, it's 5 female, best 5, like, you know, best female director, best male director. I would just like a perfect world where we get 10 and it's like, oh, maybe there's 5 and 5 one year. Maybe there's 6 and 4 tilted to women and the other way to men. Like, that would be great. It's just, it's, I always say, like, with the Academy Awards, the Academy, like, you know, because we even had it with the arguments of, like, there's a great disparity in terms of women votership and male votership. There's, I think it's 2/3 to 1/3 in terms of the amount of voters. I saw a statistic. I don't know if it's exact, but, so there is an issue there, but it's also like, I think this is just more reflective of the issue in Hollywood itself. Like, oh
yes,
you know, actors of color not getting good enough role, better roles or good enough roles that might get recognized by the Academy, or female getting movies like this, bigger movies. And I think we're getting more of them, but there's still ways to go, but yeah, I think that's kind of reflected here. But yeah, like I said, ultimately these are 5 great directing nominations. I can't take any of them out. And I mean, granted, like if Jonathan Glazer didn't make it in there, not many people, like, it's because so many people have seen Barbie, so many mainstream people too have seen Barbie.
Yeah.
People haven't really seen it. So it wouldn't be like, oh my God, Jonathan Glazer. But like, you could argue if he's out, it's like, well, he probably should have been in, you know, like people could argue it. There's no way.
So then what category you want to go to next? Who's your pick for it?
For director?
Yeah.
It's Nolan.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
So here's real quick. We got a question. Chat, we got a question. How does the director get the nomination? What do they look at? Do they have someone on set monitoring everything they do to say, wow, that director did this and this, or is it just based off entirely off all aspects of each film? I like that question.
Yeah. I think there's so many things that go into it. The way that these work is I don't know specifically all the information, but there's different branches that vote on these different things. And then every branch votes on best picture. Yep. Or I know, because even like Letterboxd did their own thing where it's like, oh, we're going to do it in the style of the Academy where you can choose two categories. So like, oh, I like voted for the actors, and then I also voted for like directing, cinematography, production, maybe sound or editing, something like that. Like, you get a couple of different things that people they're voted on by their peers for the most part.
And I think the other part of that is also the campaigns that the studios run. Which, once you realize that campaigns exist, you don't stop seeing them. I know it's easier now living in Los Angeles. But you'll see, like, you'll go, you know, Austin, go buy a Vanity Fair. You know, go buy Hollywood Reporter, a bunch of different kinds of magazines. You're going to flip through and you're going to see for your consideration.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there you go. And there, for your consideration. Poor Things, Emma Stone. Mark Ruffalo, Yorgos, yeah. Best Picture.
There's parties, there's yep. mixers, all these people are mingling. And sometimes, like, you can get a sense on the trail about, oh, what's, like, I remember last year always hearing, it's like, when the Everything Everywhere All at Once cast showed up at the mixer, the place went crazy. And people realized, something's happening here. I think that's, they're going to win. You can get a sense of it.
Yeah.
Happen with Parasite, stuff like that. And then also just like, you can tell as it goes on, like there's so much, like you look at like, say, we'll talk about it when we get to the acting stuff, but there's different people campaign or focus their campaign or help out people in their own movie and campaign alongside them and sort of push them just because they feel like they have a shot.
The other thing also is, if you really want to look at, like, when you talk about like one of the most grueling Oscar campaigns here, go back and look at Saving Private Ryan and Shakespeare in Love.
Who campaigned for that
campaign for Shakespeare in Love was Harvey Weinstein.
Yeah, and so it went on to win.
Shakespeare in Love was popular. You know, it got other wins and stuff there too, but that's usually, those are always the articles I see about inside the dirty world of Oscar campaigns. And right. it goes to that.
Well, there's also to take it back to picture, when we were talking like, oh, like the Iron Claw misses out. People are like, why does this miss out? And it's like, mm-hmm. there's many reasons. One, it came out pretty late. I think a lot of the favorites had kind of come out before, been seen before. This came out late and people didn't get enough people didn't see it to gain enough momentum. But also, it's an A24 movie. A24 focused a lot of their resources on campaigning past lives. Celine Song, Greta Lee. Now, that didn't always pay out, but like Past Life gets a Best Picture nomination. Netflix,
mm-hmm.
Netflix has Maestro.
Yeah.
There's other movies that they put out that they didn't put as much attention into that, you know, like doesn't, you know, it doesn't get nominated because of it. It's all the resources they put. They decide, okay, this is our best shot. We're going to get behind this. And, you know, it's not the be all end all, but that's a big part of it. That, like, what are the studios going to try and push? Because then they're going to campaign. And campaigning is political. It's this whole thing is political, which I don't necessarily love thinking about it in that way, just because sometimes I just like, I wish, oh, you know, the best movies of the year, my favorite movies get their recognition. But a lot of the time it's like, no, it's like these people have resources and they use them to try and get their films nominated. Now, like in terms of, I'm trying to think of like the past couple of years or like, I mean, there's so much that goes into directing. And I think you just look at a film like Oppenheimer, it's so technically ambitious and impressive. You have three acting nominations from it, so that also goes into directing.
Able to get the best performance out of your actor.
Yeah, so like there's so many different levels to that side of it, and I just think it's Nolan for sure. But enough of Oppenheimer.
What category you want to go to next?
You want to just bang out the let's bang out the screenplay noms real quick. Let's touch on those, and then we can start talking about like the acting performances and stuff.
Adapted. Or
yeah, sure. Yeah, let's talk adapted.
So Barbie being adapted is kind of weird.
Now, tell me why you think that, because I think it's correct. I think it's in the correct category.
So I'm going to look at Oppenheimer, which is based on the book American Prometheus, which, as you know, is a book. Okay. That book has the story of the man inside of the book. Therefore, the screenplay is written based on that. Barbie, I get Barbie exists, but they're not adapting a Barbie story that exists.
Yeah. No, they're not a specific one, but there's so much Barbie lore out there. There have been shows. Yeah. There have been the dolls themselves.
Were they adapted from the shows, though? That's my whole thing. Is I'm like, I'm looking at the characters here, and I'm like,
yeah, but it's adapted from the concept. There's so many things out there. Adapted
from the concept.
An architect
puts out a book of architecture or drawings in there, right? And then they make a movie with a castle that kind of looks like something in the architecture's book. You tell me that's an adapted screenplay because the architect drew the castle? Fuck out of here.
No. Barbie, but there is an aspect. I agree, it's weird. It's not the most straightforward adaptation, but it is adapted from something. There's a world of Barbie. There's Barbie, the doll itself tells a story. She's stereotypical Barbie. There's such thing as President Barbie. They didn't make Barbies. They're all like, no, the story itself. And that's what's,
Yeah. And Barbie didn't make up the president.
But I'm saying that's why it's in here, because it's expert adapted.
That's probably part of it too, because you're like, there's no you. So I've seen a Barbie, and I've never held a Barbie and been like, I have an idea. Like that's the part there where I'm like, that whole story of them roller skating and all shit is not from
Rushmore's horses.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like. That part. So, you know, yeah, I get that there's like, oh yeah, Midge is pregnant or whatever. And it's like, okay, sure. And that's the part where I'm, you know what I mean? I'm like, all right, I guess so.
I get the argument. I've had the argument with Nikki a couple of different times about it. I'm like, they are adapting something. I think it's different, but what's so important? Okay.
Here we go. Mr. Christmas Pickle.
Okay. So we're going to take Mr. Christmas Pickle. Sidebar. We're going to write a movie.
Dog toy stays in here now. So it's mom and dad got this for Maya for Christmas, right?
Yeah.
So me and you write a movie about this. We're getting fucking adapted screenplay because some fuck made this thing. This has no backstory.
Barbie does.
What's the story? This obviously has a backstory, right? It's a pickle.
Maybe. It's a pickle. I don't know. It's also not as big. If it were bigger, perhaps. If it was the biggest toy in the entire world with different worlds, different adaptations of iterations of the character.
All right.
There's so much Barbie. There's so much that they pulled from. They didn't just come up with the stuff. They came up with I'm sure they pulled from shows. I get what you're saying. It's not the most straightforward adaptation. I think it's a very impressive adaptation. It gets in there.
Yeah, I agree. But it is a weird one. But I just happened to look at it, and I was like, when you were like, why? I'm like, well, because like Oppenheimer, like that's like a he read a book and was like, oh, okay, I get it. This is the book with the story in here. And Greta was like, look at this thing.
Yeah,
it's a toy.
Well, like I mean, you like a sequel. A sequel goes in adaptive.
Yeah.
It's not adapting the movie before, it's just taking the characters from that movie and putting it's fairly weird.
Yeah, but I got it.
Important to note, Barbie being in here, people were like flipping out. Judd Apatow was like losing his mind yet again. at the Barbie thing, being like, I can't believe it. Judd Apatow. He had a response to it, and it was like, but the way he framed it is like putting it in adapted isn't a, it's not an insult.
Yeah, I'm not, you're not
framing it that way. People,
no,
have.
I can, yeah, no, no. And I think you're right, by the way. Like when I was like, the fucking toy, like, yeah, I get the toy existed, but the story that they came up with didn't, but you are right. Part of that is like, it's so out of this world that that's the story that Greta and Noah Baumbach came up with, that you're like, there's no way that they can say that this was adapted from the doll.
Right. It is funny that one of your main arguments was Midge is pregnant. Come on.
You know what I mean? So,
but important to note, so people thought that, oh, they moved it to adapted. Now it's not going to get nominated. It does get nominated, and Greta and Noah Baumbach do get nominated. Killers of the Flower Moon, out.
Well, what's going on with that?
I have no idea.
That
coming into it, I was honestly like, I mean, that and Oppenheimer would have been like, oh, those are the ones that are going to win. It's out. Now, granted, like, they're one of the main criticisms which we've heard about Killers of the Flower Moon is the framing of that story.
Which is weird, because before the movie came out, we all understood that Martin Scorsese was a short Italian man. Right? people just found out. They're like, this is from a... and I always think that that's... Like, I haven't seen it. But I think that it's weird, you know, sometimes when you look at these things where you're like, oh, this person framed it like that and not here, and you're like... I think if Martin Scorsese tried to frame it from another viewpoint, people would be like, you believe that Martin Scorsese thinks that he can tell?
Exactly. That's the thing. He told the version of Killers of the Flower Moon that I wanted him to tell.
Yeah. So that's not in there. Okay.
Zone of Interest, Poor Things, Oppenheimer.
What I was going to say here was The Color Purple.
Okay.
1985.
Sure.
Directed by Steven Spielberg.
Yeah.
Right? And then I feel like they're like, you know, people look at that, and I think he's talked about it too, of like what the book says, and he's like, I didn't feel comfortable doing it this way, and you're like, well, yeah. You're Steven Spielberg and you're directing The Color Purple.
Yeah.
That's probably why. And it's exactly. Like he didn't come at it from a different perspective. And I get it's 1985 here, but that's one of those things where I'm like, I think if Marty did it from a perspective that was not right for him to tell something from, we'd be doing the same thing. And it comes from, you've ever seen the interview with him and Timothée Chalamet? Where they're hanging out?
I don't think so. I don't think so.
And Marty talks about Marty.
Steven.
We can call him Marty. You know,
or this is you're talking about you're on Scorsese now. You're not
Scorsese. Okay. And he's talking to the Shams, and he's like, look, when The Wolf of Wall Street came out, I think it was in New York Critics, when it was done, they were split on it, and one side was like, how is he going to make that movie, and he's not going to condemn how immoral it is. And the other side was like, you need Martin Scorsese to blatantly tell you what you just saw in that movie was immoral. Right. You need him to tell you that in the movie to understand that he would think that that was immoral. And I just think that's I like that kind of aspect of
I mean, that's
his brain and the way it works there. And I think that that's like a really good example of that thought process. Like, I got to tell you, that's bad. Like, you know what I mean? Like doing lewds and crashing a car. Like you need, like at the end of it, it's just Scorsese with his fucking eyebrows. And he's like, don't do drugs. Like,
right. Like, yeah. I mean, and that's the thing is that people watch that movie and it's like, we have songs called Jordan Belfort. People wanting to be, it's like, no, you're just misreading that movie.
Well, and that's the problem. A lot of people misread movies. It's the American Psycho problem. It's the Fight Club problem. It's those kind of things where there's groups of people that watch it and they're like, yo, fucking Jordan Belfort, that guy's dope. That guy's, and you're like, they miss the point.
Yeah.
And I feel like sometimes the stupidity of other people, the stupidity of the viewer gets put back on like, oh, well, there you go. Way to go, Scorsese. Thanks for making that movie. Because now these guys are going to think that it's their idol. And it's like,
it's not his fault.
You know what I mean?
He's not, he can't walk you across the finish line.
Although, I will say, if Martin Scorsese made Taxi Driver like a little bit harder, like worked a little bit harder on Taxi Driver, I think Hinckley would have been able to be put Reagan down.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, if I can criticize Scorsese, it's there.
For one thing, he didn't Taxi Drive hard enough.
Yes.
I tweeted one time the story, John Hinckley and wanting to get Jodie Foster's attention because of Taxi Driver, and that's why he shot Ronald Reagan.
Mm-hmm. And someone, right?
Twitter, the Twitter people I was following exploded. They were yelling at me, and I'm like, hey. I'm sorry here that you think that what I'm saying is video games cause mass shootings. I'm just telling you a fucking story, my guy, because this is what happened, okay? Like, please, that was around the last time that I was like, I have to take these as serious people.
Yeah, no, you can't. It's a cesspool.
You want to go to original screenplay?
Original screenplay, nominees are Anatomy of Fall, written by Justine Triet and Arthur Harari.
All right.
The Holdovers, written by David Hermingson. Maestro, written by Bradley Cooper and Josh Singer. May December, screenplay by Sammy Birch. And Past Lives, written by Celine Song. It's another pretty decent group. Couple of the inclusions of like, oh, you know, we'll throw like this one gets in like May December didn't really get nominated anywhere else, but it gets inclusion here.
I think the Maestro jokes have been pretty funny also.
Yeah, like which ones?
All the ones about like Bradley Cooper like putting his life, his sweat and tears and all of his focus into winning it. Like the whole idea that he wants an Oscar so fucking bad.
Yeah. Well, there's like the conversation about it is like, he's not gonna win Best Actor.
No.
He's not gonna win. Maestro will not win anything, I don't think, at the Academy Awards. But it did get a Best Pick. He gets nominated. It gets a Best Picture nomination. He gets nominated for writing. Like, you almost think if he got completely snubbed, he would go even harder on the next time. But this one kind of, like, holds him off a little bit. Like, he kind of gets some recognition.
Yeah, what's your favorite... What's your favorite Bradley Cooper performance?
A Star Is Born.
He's fucking good in that thing.
Yeah, huh? Yeah, it's probably A Star Is Born.
He's really good in Licorice Pizza.
Oh, no, you know what is Licorice Pizza? It might be Licorice Pizza.
He's good in Licorice Pizza.
Yeah, I think I gave him Best Supporting Actor last year.
You're leaving some gems out there.
Well, yours is American Hustle. Is it American
Hustle? I think it is American Hustle. Yeah. I don't know why. I know there's a lot of people that don't like American Hustle. I am not one of them.
If there's one fan of American Hustle, I am him. If there's zero, then I am dead.
Yeah, that's what I mean. And that's, I don't know, he's got the curlers in and he's like always yelling.
Yeah.
And stuff, and he wears an outfit, mm-hmm. and Christian Bale is like fucking fat as shit and bald, and he's always doing this. Amy Adams looks unbelievable in that movie.
Yeah.
It's the hottest she's ever looked. It looks incredible in that movie.
Yeah.
Jennifer Lawrence says the words science oven at some point in it. Pretty good. Mm-hmm. Couple extra thumbs up for that.
Cool, yeah. What year was this? 2013?
Jeremy Renner's in that movie? And he's like, hey, we're going to build a casino in Camden.
Jeremy Renner's good in that movie.
I know he is.
Yeah. Let's see. Did that get a... I'm trying to see if that got a...
Yeah, it got a lot of nominations and won nothing.
I'm wondering if it got a screenplay nom for Science Oven. It did. Original screenplay.
Fucking that's what I'm talking about, baby.
Yeah.
You're also forgetting about the A team. That's also another fucking Hooper Tour de Force.
I got
We got to cover that thing, buddy. We got to watch that thing live on here. We got to do a live watch along with the A team.
Yeah, because that's Patty Wills too, right?
Neeson's, Patty Wills, fucking B Coops. What's her face? Jessica Biel.
Charlton Copley.
Copley's in it.
In going insane.
The whole movie is just him losing. Great movie. It's not. It's terrible. It's the best movie ever made. TNT Sunday special. If it's on, I got to watch it.
Yeah.
It's
a remote drop for you.
So where do you think this is going? Is this holdovers?
I think it's Anatomy of a Fall, but it could be holdovers.
Oh.
Could like holdovers and... No, I don't think May December gets it. But I think it's between those two. I would say
another Oscar info question.
Yeah.
For screenplay.
Yeah.
Solely based on what's on the screen, or do you think they also send out screenplays?
Ooh.
Right? Question number one. Second one.
I have an answer to that one, but I'll wait for
What's the answer?
I think it's both, because I feel like a lot of the times I'm scrolling Twitter and it's like, oh, by the way, like I don't think they get it like screeners, but like you'll scroll on Twitter and like one of these like film Twitter accounts will be like, oh, they've released.
Okay, so they're releasing like that.
The full screenplay, because I actually will look for them sometimes like for.
Yeah. So for, like, here's the next question.
Like yeah.
Anatomy of a Fall is in French, correct?
Largely. There's a lot of English in it, too.
Okay. So what I was getting at there was when you get a written original screenplay, do they release it also? Now, if they do and the movie is a foreign film like this, would they send it with full translation?
Yeah, I don't know. I've actually been looking for the Anatomy of a Fall one. I haven't seen it yet, but I wonder if it's just like parentheses in French and then
in
like,
French and then it's in French English. That's my question. Because
I've read scripts like that.
Because my question would be is I wonder how different a script reads for a film to a non-native speaker when it is then translated.
Probably reads pretty sexy in French.
Right?
Yeah.
All right. Good question.
But yeah, I mean, that movie's all, yeah, there's a lot of
good answer.
Of English.
I asked the question, by the way. Good answer. Thank you for answering that.
You can pat yourself on the back.
So what do you think's taking this? You think Anatomy of a Fall could take it? Is the holdovers in this conversation at all? Okay.
I think a little, but yeah, I think so. But I think right now where I'm leaning is it's going to be Anatomy of a Fall because people love that movie and she's not going to win director. She won't win director because it's going to Nolan, and I think Oppenheimer is going to win Best Picture. So I think this is where they say, okay, this is where we're going to celebrate Justine Triet.
Okay. Real quick before we get to the acting ones, can we pop into, I want to do the music ones real quick.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Fire Inside, I'm Just Ken, It Never Went Away. God, don't print that. A Song for My People.
Nice. That was a smart. You made a business decision there.
Yeah, I did, buddy. It's from Killers of a Flower Moon. And then What Was I Made For?
Mm-hmm.
And this recently became a little more interesting.
You're talking because the Critics' Choice.
I'm talking because the Critics' Choice goes to I'm Just Ken and not What Was I Made For, which kind of leads me into this next segue. I saw a lot of takes from that.
That was pretty much, that was like the prequel to the takes we got today, yesterday and today.
And a lot of the takes were from people that I'm convinced didn't watch the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're like, I love it because it's, oh yeah, great. We make this whole movie about women and this song about the dumb guy gets the nomination there. Oh, perfect. This is exactly what, and I'm like, okay. You can definitely have that opinion. It's allowed.
What did you say at the top of the show? I am Takes Destroyer of Moods. I have now become Takes Destroyer of Moods.
Yeah, now become Takes Destroyer of Moods. And I think it's funny because I think that the whole side of Barbie that really dealt well with
we're men.
And like, so am I.
Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's a, so I thought one of the things that was really done well with that was the aspect of Ken.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't just like, oh, I'm a guy. He's a guy in the movie. Cool. He likes horses. It was like, no, it was everything else with that. Yeah. Of, I love that the messaging, how it's such an empowering movie for women. And I think that there's a lot of great things in there for men as well. So I think that when you look at this, yeah, and people are like, oh, this is what happened here, I'm like, did you miss the messaging of this movie? Did you watch this? Because we talked about this in the movie.
Yeah.
This was in the film. And now we're doing this. You know what I mean? And I'm like, I was surprised, though. I think What Was I Made For is fucking beautiful.
Yeah. It's a very touching song that speaks to what the movie is about in terms of Barbie's story. It's just... It's the boring pick. It's the Oscar, but the Oscars normally go with the ballad, the slow. I mean, they need like they go. Won't this
get Billy her second?
Yeah, yeah, it will.
She's like 23 years old. Good for her.
Yeah, I mean that's awesome, and I think she'll still win. I'm pulling for I'm Just Ken. I think it's just a fun. So they like pick something fun. I mean, I mostly wanted it to get nominated because I want him to perform at the Oscars. I don't think he's going to. I wasn't really, I think it was kind of a long shot even before the nominations were announced.
Yeah. I mean, there's still always the chance though.
Yeah. Who knows? I just think it's a fun song, whatever.
Okay. I agree. Now, original score.
Yeah, this one's in the bag, I think.
I think it's in the bag, too. By the way, I didn't even realize that John Williams was nominated.
Insane!
Like, I just opened it, I was like, John Williams again?
For Indiana Jones 5, I could not tell you a single... I don't remember that score.
We had this same exact conversation about The Rise of Skywalker, because The Last Jedi score fucking rips.
And I remember it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't remember the Rise of Skywalker score.
Do you remember when they're in the thing and he does a, and they do the thing about that whole,
are you talking? Yeah.
They're in the red room.
It's on. I listen to it at the gym all the time.
And also when Luke shows up,
the spark. Yeah.
The spark. The spark is, dude, the spark's nuts.
The spark though. Let's see, that was a 2017 movie, so let's look at the 2018 Oscars. Did that get in?
It's not nominated. I don't think it's nominated.
It is nominated. It is.
Thank God. Okay,
but they split out wins for The Shape of Water. We're back. But yeah, he does get what? He gets nominated again for...
Shape of Water, a good score. That's a good relax movie. I'm a really big fan of like late at night, just want something on in the background. Shape of Water. Because
it's almost like a Nemo's dreamscape of a movie.
Yes, it that's right. It is, and the score is great. Kate loves that movie.
Yeah. Best picture winner.
I know. I got some beef with him a little bit.
Oh no, what's going on? What did Dayspa do?
I don't really have beef with him. I just still think that it should have been Interstellar.
Oh, you're
for
still
score.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. Dayspa is not here to take it away from Ludwig Göransson, who will be winning his second Oscar. I haven't seen American Fiction. I've heard people be like, it's kind of like just a jazzy score, not really that memorable. The Dial of Destiny, if it's not, I don't remember it from that movie. Killers of the Flower Moon's got a great score. I loved the Poor Things score. So those are, but I just think it's going to be Oppenheimer. I think the only way Oppenheimer had a threat is if they decided to throw recognition at Joe Hisaishi's score for The Boy and the Heron, which they did not. So he's not even nominated. Nikki's upset. Big snub in this household. But I think that was the only outside chance one of these movies had. I think once that's out, it's like, okay, it's going to go to Oppenheimer.
Deservedly so.
I think that it's also, you know, I think it's also kind of cool that his career, Ludwig, right? So he starts out a composer of additional music with fucking Theodore Shapiro for Marley and Me, Year One, and Jennifer's Body. Does 30 minutes or less, and then he starts working with Ryan Coogler, but that's also after he produces for Childish Gambino.
Yeah, I think he did stuff on Community, too.
Yeah, so I mean, it's like...
Like, I think that's where they got sort of linked up, yeah.
Yeah, it's on Community. Okay. That's fucking cool that you look at that, and some of his scores are fucking
The Community
nuts.
Pipeline, man. The Community, too...
Is crazy.
Because, like, you look at, like, Joe and Anthony Russo, who obviously they're not, like... widely celebrated by the Academy, but they have one of the biggest movies ever made.
Donald Glover is in Spider-Man.
Yeah. Oscar nominated. Is he in? No, he's not. Oh no, he is in.
Yeah. Spider-Man. Like, he's in it for like 5 seconds, but he's still, still in it.
Yeah.
Characters from that show up all over the place.
Yeah. We have been recording for over an hour.
Yeah, it's time to move.
It's time to get to the acting.
All right. You want to do actress and supporting role?
Yeah, let's cover this because I think this one's just kind of like, this one's locked. I've said it. Divine Joy Randolph for The Holdovers is winning everything.
Yeah.
I think she's going to win. The other nominees are Jodie Foster, America Ferrera gets in, Danielle Brooks, Emily Blunt. There were conversations here. I'm trying to think of who the major snubs for supporting actress were. You know, you don't get like Julianne Moore for May, December. But I'm trying to think of the egregious one that I think a lot of people, I mean, America Ferrera, people were surprised by.
Yeah. And not Dua Lipa. She looked just like a mermaid.
Dua Lipa snubbed in the song. Barbie had three nominations at the Globes.
I'm gonna be honest with you, brother. Anytime we're not giving Dua Lipa an award, she's being snubbed.
Yeah, here's the thing. Do you want Dua Lipa at your show?
Yeah.
Too bad.
Yeah.
I mean, she still might go. I don't know. I have no idea. She might, but she's I don't know.
Divine Joy Randolph got that thing. Got that bad boy in the fucking bag.
Yeah, I mean, like, Danielle Brooks is a cool nomination, too. She's excellent in The Color Purple. This one was just tough. Like, I know, like, people got up in arms about stuff for certain nominees here, but it also, like, does it ultimately matter? Divine Joy Randolph is going to win it. So it's I'm not too... I'm not going to even... Like, America Ferrera, good for her. I don't think it's the greatest... It's nowhere near the best performance in that movie, but she's not competing against the people in her own movie. And she, you know, it's a perfectly, perfectly fine performance. She's good in it, but.
Did Christopher Nolan figure out how to direct a woman? Is that what this is? Is this proof of that?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if I would go. It's
a tricky question, isn't it?
She's great in it. I don't know if this is like, oh, wow, he's finally written.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
So, actor in a supporting role.
Okay.
Sterling K. Brown.
Cool name.
Robert De Niro. Robert Downey Jr., Ryan Gosling, and Mark Ruffalo.
Willem Dafoe misses out.
Yeah, Willem Dafoe misses out.
Was there someone else that was kind
you
of?
Think...
Oh, Charles Melton for May December, who was winning a lot of awards. Like there was talk about, oh, is he going to win this thing? And he's not even nominated. So the hype around that sort of died very, very quickly. But Sterling
Robert
Brown
Downey
gets in there.
Yeah, that's I like
that's
that.
Cool. I've heard he's fun in that movie.
I mean, did De Niro?
De Niro's insane in Killers of the Flower Moon.
Yeah,
he's so good. My favorite performance in that movie.
Okay, now how do you feel about that? You think Downey Jr.'s got a? You think this is the one?
I think this is the one. Yeah, I think he gets it. I think it's also just like we talk about, like, oh, campaigning and stuff like that. Part of this is also like you get up on stage.
How charismatic that motherfucker is at every award show and every press junket, everything. He's fucking great.
So even when it's up in the air, he goes up and he wins. Oh, shit. That was a great speech. We saw it with Brad Pitt. Brad, like, was doing a tight five every single time he won an award. People want to keep seeing that. Kei Yuan, the perfect example last year.
Oh, it was so good,
dude. It was such a delight watching him win an award every time. You never got tired of seeing him do it. So, like, that helps their case. And, yeah, I think he's going to win. I think it's going to be a great speech.
Robert Downey Jr., it's been nominated twice before.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we're doing this. We're doing
I think it's only twice before.
No, I'm saying we're doing this. What were the noms?
Charlie Chaplin in Chaplin.
Yeah.
Kirk Lazarus in Tropic Thunder.
A good nom. A good nomination.
I mean, that fucking performance got some fucking legs on it, buddy.
Oh, my God.
Tell you what. That's the Heath Ledger year.
Yeah, I'm just like, I haven't gotten an apology yet. We haven't seen. Maybe he's saving it for his win.
When he wins here, he'll apologize. Dude, oh man, that fucking performance is fucking great. I'm wondering 2008. That might have also been that's the year it went to Heath Ledger. But I think also I think it was Heath Ledger was nominated. Downey Jr. was nominated, and so was Tom Wilkinson for Michael Clayton. I might be wrong.
That I think that was the year before. So the nominees were Heath Ledger, mm-hmm. The Dark Knight, Josh Brolin in Milk, Robert Downey Jr. Tropic Thunder. Then you have Philip Seymour Hoffman in Doubt and Michael Shannon in Revolutionary. I think Clayton's the that's 2007. Clayton.
Seven's Clayton.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I forgot. I'm on the same website as you.
Yeah. Yeah. Rest in peace, Tom Wilkinson.
Dude. Let's watch Mike.
Michael Clayton's great. I watched it recently. It's great. Now, the winners that year were Javier Bardem for No Country for Old Men.
Austin wants to know, is there a world where Bruce Banner wins? Mark Ruffalo is Mark who Ruffalo. We're speaking of?
No, because he wasn't even nominated for the SAGs.
Okay.
Which was weird. They put Defoe in instead of him. So, but he does get in over Defoe in the Academy nominations, but... Yeah, I think kind of all but it says everything.
Okay. There. Okay. And then
I think it's RDJ. It's RDJ gets this one.
And then Gosling gets the Ken nod. And what a performance. They really just said, Ryan, you got wings. Let's see you use them.
Yeah.
And he did, brother.
Yeah.
He did.
I guess now is as good a time as ever to get into the actress in a leading role.
I think it, yes, it is. Actress.
I mean, we have also actor in a leading role. And if you want to hop to that first, just because I feel like there's more to talk about with actress in a leading role, because that's what the entire world is melting down about.
Actor in a leading role.
Bradley Cooper in Maestro. He gets his nom. He put 6 years of conducting work into it and it paid dividends. He's good in that movie. He's really good.
You're not gonna say Coleman Domingo for Rustin and then walk by and not talk about how incredible this man has looked on every red carpet he's been on.
Probably goes into campaigning too. Do you not?
Unbelievable.
Yeah, that's a win. We get to see him. We get him on the carpet.
We get him on the carpet. Very good.
Excellent.
Very good.
He's excellent. I have not seen Rustin. By all accounts, I've heard mixed things on it. I've heard he's great in it.
I've heard really that he's a handsome man on the fucking red carpet.
Exactly. I'm not going
I've
to
heard
complain.
And I've seen.
Paul Giamatti, I'm not going to complain too much about his inclusion. Because whoever he left out wasn't winning anyway. You know,
I
would have liked to see Andrew Scott in here, but Coleman Domingo makes it in there. That's awesome. Paul Giamatti for The Holdovers. Cillian Murphy for Oppenheimer. Jeffrey Wright. For American Fiction.
Jeffrey Wright. Felix Leiter, brother from Langley. I'm bleeding chips.
Bleeding chips.
What a performance. You know what I mean?
Yeah. He should have been nominated for that.
Instead, they put him on Westworld.
So it's Giamatti versus Murphy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you haven't seen Holdovers yet.
No, I haven't. But I remember seeing the trailer for it before I saw Oppenheimer, and I was like, oh, that's going to be one of those movies that's a fucking banger.
Yep, and you were right.
What do you think here? What do you think is going to happen here?
This one could be the big surprise, I think.
Yeah?
Something in my gut is telling me that it's going to go to Giamatti. Which I think, I mean, like, I think that's great. He's done excellent work. He's very likable. I think a lot of people admire him. I think it's a missed opportunity for Cillian Murphy, because I think this is a career-defining performance. And to use former past and future guest Snow even said it, and when we were talking about it, I think what Cillian Murphy does is so incredible. I think maybe this is the, we've talked, you know, we talk about fatigue and stuff like that. I think this is one of the ones where he was the front runner for so long and people are kind of like, maybe getting tired of that. Mm-hmm. Not that people don't like and respect Cillian Murphy. My pick is for Cillian Murphy. But yeah, it could go to Giamatti. Another thing also, sorry, we didn't even talk about Leo is snubbed too.
Yeah, what's going on there?
I don't know. Like, he hasn't necessarily something. He's been very selfless on the campaign trail. He's kind of stay, and he did this with Once Upon a Time in Hollywood as well, when Brad Pitt was up for a thing for his for Best Supporting Actor. He kind of just like gave way for him, and I feel like he's doing that with Lily Gladstone, who we'll talk about in the next category. I feel like he's, you know, she's been on the trail with her. Everything he's done, has been together, like kind of just like giving her the spotlight, which is the right thing to do with this movie. As excellent as he is, I think it's one of his top three performances that he's given.
What's your top three? Top three, Leo.
Top three, Leo. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Okay.
In no particular order. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Killers of the Flower Moon. What's the third? I don't know what the third is.
I thought you were going to say, what's eating Gilbert Grape?
We've brought this up in the podcast. I have not seen it.
Oh, well.
I think that came up like recently. Let me look.
Last episode. Yeah. So you got Wolf of Wall Street in there. You got Aviator in there.
Could be Wolf of Wall Street.
He's pretty crazy in the Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah, it's probably that. Oh no,
Django.
Django's top three for me. Django, okay. Unchained. One, so two Tarantinos and a Scorsese. Those are my three favorite. But Wolf of Wall Street's on the guy's got it. You can name 10, and you're like, these are all great.
Yeah. So this is going to be Murphy v Giamatti. Cooper, thank you for learning how to. Let's give him a hand. Learn how to compose. Good. Woo. That's good. That's a skill. You can think about it. Think now. Here's what I want to say. He learned to compose. Let's not let that go to waste. He plays Leonard Bernstein. What about the next movie? He plays Elmer Bernstein.
Doesn't Elmer Bernstein look insane? Oh, man.
This is Elmer, all right?
Yeah, I know.
Maybe this is Bradley Cooper's next movie.
I'm thinking of
Bradley Cooper's next movie is him playing Elmer Bernstein while he's composing Ghostbusters 1984. Oh yeah. I just picture Coop in the studio as Elmer just like cooking up. Wow. Huh. It's great. It's good shit right there.
Yeah, nice Elmer Bernstein biopic about how he composed Ghostbusters.
Bradley's people, if you're listening, you know where to get a hold of me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Would that be adapted? Or are we adapting it after that little tune?
Yeah, we are. We are. I mean.
Good, good.
Who better than us?
Us. Actress in a leading role.
Actress in a leading role. Annette Bening. Lily Gladstone, Sandra Hüller, Terry Mulligan, and Emma Stone. It's going to Lily, right?
I think so. It's Lily or Emma. Emma, I think, won the most recent award. I think, but the Academy Award, man, they like patting themselves on the back. I think they're going to be like, oh, we have a chance to look good. Give us a Lily Gladstone. Now, I don't mean to say that to take away from her performance. I just think that's what they'll end up doing. It's a deserving performance. She's amazing.
It's one of those things where you go, she deserves every award she's getting. How is somebody else going to use that performance to their benefit?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know who I don't see here? I don't see a gal by the name of Barbie.
No Barbie.
No Margot Robbie.
Yeah.
But there is a nomination for Annette Bening in a movie where Reese Ifans is like, this is pretty dangerous. And then she swims.
I'm in a boat.
Like, you know what I mean? It makes you think.
Yeah. So.
Is that the one you think is the Annette Bening one where people are like, you put Annette fucking Bening in here?
Yeah. Gotta be.
She's already won one before, right?
Did she win for...
It would be 99 if she did.
American Beauty?
She may have.
Or is she... No, I think she's actually... I think she's just been nominated a lot. Maybe...
Oh, no,
maybe
she didn't. Well, Best Actress went to fucking GP.
So she's doing, like, her own little, like... Who's GP? Gwyneth Paltrow.
Sorry, wrong year. I was looking...
It's the year after the movie came out. On the Oscar website, at least. To confuse things.
So, she was nominated for American Beauty... and it ended up going to Hilary Swank for Boys Don't Cry.
Okay. Yeah, I think she's kind of putting together a nice little, like, Glenn Close type resume. But I was thinking about this because I was filling up my gas in my car today.
Okay.
And at the gas station, I'm on Olympic and Robertson.
So you saw Annette Bening.
Right above the gas station, big NIAID for your consideration poster.
Okay.
And I'm like, oh, they want to show her love. You know, the Academy loves Annette Bening. She hasn't won. She's not winning this award.
No.
So it's like, so you're doing it like, oh, like, she's not going to win. What's the point? I'm sure the performance is great. She's good. Most of the things she does, but it does feel like she's in. People like NIAID, her and Jodie Foster both in.
Yeah, I know. Weird Netflix movie that involves swimming, two women, Reese Ifans on a boat.
Reese Ifans is like 22nd build,
but he's number one in our hearts.
In our hearts, okay, cool.
He's really good, in House of Dragon.
Okay, I thought you were going to say the replacements.
No. But that's what I mean. That's why the performance is so good. Because I'm like, this is the kicker from the fucking replacements.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see him in House of Dragon, and he's fucking great in it. So this goes to Hilary Swank. Actor in supporting role goes to Michael Caine. Haley Joel Osment was nominated this year.
Okay. No,
well,
this is the 2024 Oscar reaction pod.
Tom Cruise, Magnolia.
Pretty good.
Pretty good.
So, actress in a leading role. 2024.
Actress in a leading role. Yep.
The biggest meltdown.
Yeah.
How are you going to nominate Barbie or Ken, but not Barbie?
Yeah. Ken's the more insane, memorable performance, by the way.
But Margot Robbie's incredible in that movie. But
you're gonna give the Oscar.
She's not competing against. No. It's like, oh man, so I'm feminist. But five women beat her out.
Yeah, like
how
are you gonna nominate Barbie the movie and not nominate who plays Barbie? Kind of feels like you give the award to Joker and not to the Batman.
If I said that,
people would have me committed.
Yeah. The strange thing in terms of Barbie. No, they'd have you committed in what? What were you gonna say?
Directly to Arkham. I'd be absolutely. Yeah. They'd be like, "You're in my friend. You're in Arkham now," and that would be the rest of my life.
Oh man, you'd be hanging with Barry Keoghan. The weird thing is, like, looking at it as a whole, it's like, oh, it's weird that America Ferrera gets nominated and Margot Robbie doesn't.
I think that's the weirdest. Yes.
Yeah. Now, but again, not competing against each other. And also, it's an academy. It's separate, different branches of individuals who do their vote on their own. It's not a large room where people are like, we need to sit down and we need to map out how this is going to go. That's not how it works.
Yes.
There are other snubs in this category. Greta Lee for Past Lives, which was mentioned in our chat earlier.
What about Portsmouth?
Natalie Portman, excellent. Also out. Like, the thing is, like, I look at this list, and I love the Emma Stone performance. I think that is...
She's fucking locked in, dude.
In that movie, she's incredible.
Her and Yorgos, man, that's a match made in fucking heaven.
Yeah. Like, but let me tell you, that movie is... She plays, like, her character in the beginning of that movie has an infant's brain.
Oh, yeah, I'm down with this.
And grows throughout and, like, rapidly grows. But, like, playing that is, and there's a moment, you know, like, we love Margaret Qualley on this podcast.
How could you not? It's the main reason we made the podcast.
A similar thing happens with her character. She comes in later on, and it's the same thing. And it's just like, you look at it, and like, Margaret Qualley's fine in it, and it's, but you're like, Emma Stone is just, it's like, there's levels to this. There's levels to what we're seeing here in terms of performance. Carrie Mulligan is phenomenal in Maestro. Mm-hmm. I think she's so good. The movie, like, is, she's also a very major part of that movie. It's Bradley Cooper's the lead, but, you know, she's in it enough. Sandra Hohler, you know, like I said before, talking about Anatomy of a Fall, that movie is about, did she or did she not kill her husband?
Yeah.
And I think her performance is the key to the ambiguity that movie has.
Okay.
And it's like, really, it doesn't work without that performance. Lily Gladstone.
I think it all leads up to Lily Gladstone. Like, I feel like this is also one of those things where everyone is wasting their breath at this point. It's going to Lily Gladstone. Like you said, it would be cool to see Emma Stone win, strictly for the fact of I do like the edits I've been seeing on the internet lately, of Emma Stone winning an award and then them showing Ryan Gosling in the crowd and then the La La Land theme plays, and you know, I enjoy that.
Right. Right, she won an acting award, he won a music award. It's all,
you know what I mean? It's coming together.
Yeah. But Lily Gladstone, is the heart and soul of Killers of the Flower Moon. She's incredible. And it's, you know, it's a more subtle, nuanced performance. And like you said, it's probably gonna go to her. So, like, we are wasting our breath, and we're wasting our breath, and we're taking away from the first Native American woman to win Best Actress. That's incredible.
Yeah.
And we're getting everyone's flipping out because the movie about a $1 billion movie about a toy with a great performance with this lead, but she misses out. It's a great category.
She also got nominated for Best Picture as well. Like, right. I think that's part of it too.
A lot of the arguments is like, oh, but like, this movie doesn't get made without her. Yeah, I know. She's nominated for that.
That's
why
it's the Best Picture there. It also takes the kind of thing of where it's the white girl feminism. You're like, what? There's a woman here. It's like first Native American woman nominated here. I don't know if you've watched the Oscars for a while, but in 1972, they had to restrain John Wayne in his fucking seat from punching fucking Sancho Littlefeather in the head. Like, that's something that happened. And it's also crazy that Brando turned down that Oscar for the reason that he did. And it's taken from then till now for this nomination to happen. Wild.
Yeah. And it's just, the fact that, like Barbie, like I said, it made $1 billion and was nominated for 8 Academy Awards. Margot Robbie and Greta Gerwig were also recognized, not in the places where maybe they should have, you know, like you can make that argument, but like there's 5 slots or 10 in the case of Best Picture. Someone's always going to miss out. Right. And, you know, there's also the argument of like, oh, but like, do you want, you know, the more mainstream, like, oh, a lot of people saw it. Like, you want a lot of the mainstream movies in there to get a wider audience. It's like, that's not, I mean, that's not necessarily how I view the Academy Awards or how I think they should be. Like, the best movies should be rewarded, the best performances. Obviously, that's largely subjective. But also, like, people view the Academy Awards in such a weird way. It's like, oh, wait, Barbie didn't get nominated. Oh, well, like, who's Sandra Hüller? Anatomy of a Fall? I never even heard of that. Okay, well, now you have. Watch it.
I did see that you tweeted that when you said, you know, like, people don't look at this as an opportunity to discover things. And I don't care about the people that don't, too long. Ruin it for the people that like watching it and don't care how long it is. If you think it's too long, then fucking shut it off.
Right. And that's also the problem with how the Oscars frame it, because the Oscars are trying to appeal to the people who don't give a shit anyway.
Yeah, so that's right. They don't.
So they do. So the Flash entering the Speed Force wins an award, or there's a box office award at the Golden Globes.
What we're not going to do here is we're not going to slander the Speed Force. Did you see that scene? That scene's fucking great.
But like, it's all these attempts. Like, no, just give the people who like the show what they want. Stop trying to appease the people who don't give a shit.
Is this show even have a fucking host yet?
Yeah, it's Kimmel. Kimmel's a safe, if uninspired, pick.
Yeah, it's safe. It definitely does feel quite uninspired.
I want have John Mulaney do it.
Can you imagine Mulaney doing it?
He did something. He did something for the Academy, like what, the Governor's Ball, and he killed it.
Yeah,
he's also great. Done the Indie Spirit Awards with Nick Kroll, and he's great.
Let Anne Hathaway do it again with Gene Hackman.
Yeah, and Franco.
Was fucking pretty good.
I'm just kidding. No, I mean, Franco was terrible. Franco was was great.
Oh yeah, it was her and Franco.
I think Hackman did it, and she was a part of a musical number, and then that's how she got the next year.
Yeah, no, she was great. So the Oscars air March 10th, right?
I believe so, or that weekend at least.
March 10th, 2024. So that's I still got time.
Yeah, and I got time. Like, I mean, you feel free to look at all the movies that I sent you, but this is also you also kind of have like a more focused, updated list of
I would like to also update on the list you sent me. I watched Spider-Verse.
Good movie. Well, I don't think it's going to win the nom or the award for best animated. But it's
I watched that, and then I also watched Asteroid City.
Oh, Asteroid City. What did we think? One of the worst movies of the year, according to Variety.
What a great... You know what? It's the Wes Anderson thing, where like I watch Moonrise Kingdom, and I'm like, okay, this guy's cooking. Because he's cooking in the Tenenbaums. I like the Royal Tenenbaums. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen the Royal Tenenbaums in 25 years. Like 20 years has been since I've seen it. But some of the other shit he was doing, I wasn't as crazy on. Darjeeling Limited or whatever. Yeah, I'm whatever on it. You had the vinyl from Moonrise Kingdom. I said, what is this? You said, it's Moonrise Kingdom. So I watched it, and I said, oh, whoa, this guy's fucking cooking. And then I watched the Grand Budapest Hotel, and I go, this is a masterpiece.
We watched that together.
It's incredible. And then Isle of Dogs, French Dispatch. I'm also on that.
Oh, I like the French Dispatch. But I get it.
I'll tell you, my Letterboxd review for it was, he's locked in on perfecting his style, but sometimes the facade is much nicer than the reality. Not bad. But no, I was on that.
I understand.
So when I get to Asteroid City, I was like, oh, okay, this fucking guy's cooking again.
Hmm.
I really enjoyed that.
Yeah. Arguably Margot Robbie's best performance of the year.
She's fucking great in that.
That scene rules.
She's great in that. Scarlett Johansson's great in that.
Yeah.
There's a lot of great that
I like Hanks in a Wes Anderson movie. It's not like the first thing I would think of, but I like that. The kids are fantastic.
Jeffrey Wright, I really, really enjoyed that movie.
Yeah.
So what are we covering? What else we got going on here?
Right now or moving forward?
No. Coming up in the near future.
Near future. I love when we do have these little meetings of like the programming meetings on the end of the pod.
Yeah, why not?
What you can look forward to in theory.
Should we do an Oscar do-over?
Oh, we have. It's already on the slate.
Okay.
So this is what I have on the slate.
Okay.
Our next episode is Snow's Sundance Report. So Snow Sundance. It was snow and or there was snow and at Sundance. I know a couple of people who were there. But Snow has virtual Sundance and she's watching, I believe she said 11 films.
Okay, so she's going to be the report back.
Yeah, okay. She tweeted. She said she's going to the dispensary to load up, and then she's watching 11 movies this week. So we're going to have her on to sort of report back on some of her favorites from that.
We got that. We got an Oscar do-over on there.
And then we come back and do like Oscar. It's mostly Oscar content.
I will say I did go to the dispensary once, and then I watched Ambulance.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
I'm going to be honest with you. I have no recollection of that movie whatsoever.
Oh, man.
I'm not even sure that I watched it. I told you that I watched it. And I'm like...
That's your problem. That's not a weed movie. That's a cocaine movie.
Yeah. I just want to say Austin said that the Sundance episode is called The Snow Dance.
He also said Sarah Silverman was snubbed for her performance in Maestro, which I chose to ignore.
I didn't know she was in that.
Yeah. I saw it and I didn't. No, she's fine, but she's not in it that much. Other ideas that we have for episodes with the Oscars. We have the 2013 Oscar redo special.
Okay.
So we'll look back 10 years. At least that's what I have just in theory right now.
Okay.
Let's take a look at it. I think we just looked at 2013 because I think, no, 2013 was the year before. Oh no, because it would be the 2014 Oscars. So the 2013 slate. We did this already. So we're doing the year before that. So 2013.
Okay. Oh, that's the Lincoln Silver Linings Playbook, year. Les Mis, The Master, and Flight Year.
Yeah, so we'll have to take a look, or we can go. I don't know. Yeah, I feel like 10 years is a good distance.
I like that. I'm gonna.
So we'll have to take a look at that. Sort of figure out the rules for that.
Yeah, this is gonna be fun. I'm looking at this now, and I'm furious.
We're going to do I know you love doing your lists. We're going to do an episode of our top five favorite Oscar winners.
Okay.
Which will be hard.
It's going to be very hard. Yeah. Favorite wins. That's going to be something. I'm excited though.
We'll do picks and predictions for the Oscars.
Obviously, as we get a little closer,
we will recap the Oscars. And then there's a spot in there. Depending on where you we can throw in another episode, just a random episode, a one-off, or just like conversation leading up to it, or depending on how much you watch, we can do our own awards.
Okay. Yeah.
Now I feel like your nominees at probably this point will reflect more of the Academy because you're gonna kind of rush and watch that. But there are some movies like you can nominate from Asteroid City. Like you can give ScarJo a nom. But
what about the Alien?
Famously snubbed. We didn't really get into that. Yeah. We'll push that off so it's like closer.
Okay.
But so first we have Oscar. We'll maybe do the redo special first, and then we have the top five Oscar winner list, as well as the Snow Sundance Report. So I think it'll be Snow Sundance Report. Then we'll do
2013 Oscars.
Then top five Oscar list. Then picks and predictions.
I love that. There we go. We said we're back, and we're fucking back. We're so fucking back.
Oh my god.
The levels of back are fucking nuts. I'll tell you that much right now, ladies and gentlemen.
Look, but the takes are not disappointing.
They
are disappointing, but that's content, baby.
Yeah. So what we're gonna do is we're gonna thank you for listening to this episode. people that watched the live stream of the episode. Thank you for tuning in from start to finish, Austin. Always a pleasure having you.
Always good. Always good questions in the chat too.
That's what I mean. Sometimes you just need a little question going on there. So, Austin, thank you very much for that. By the way, Jared, we did not introduce the podcast. We did not introduce each other.
No, we did not.
Which is fine.
No,
it's fine. Intros can only take you so far.
Mm-hmm.
Introductions can only take you so far because that intro was fucking great.
It was great.
Remember, keep adding things to your queue. Let the banter ensue. Drop us a line. Follow us TikTok, Instagram, Twitter. Tell us what movies you want us to cover. You could tell us what lists you want us to come up with. We look forward to everything we're going to do in the future. I'm so happy that we finally, it feels like we're finding our rhythm. And we can't wait to keep putting episodes out. And thank you very much for tuning in.